92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you are having a great Saturday in Pensacola. Always glad to be back on the radio with you. Early FSU game this week, so I actually get to do a show this week. That's always nice. But we are gearing up for next week. Next week, of course, a week from today, we're only a week away from Halloween. Very, very excited about that and very, very excited to be part of the team that's bringing you Pensacon Halloween Fest in Museum Plaza in downtown Pensacola on Saturday. And joining me to talk about that is part of Pensacon's executive staff, Andy Trahan. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Julio. How you doing?
Good afternoon. welcome to the show. Glad to have you. And let's just start telling people about the event. Tell people a little bit about what Pensacon Halloween Fest is.
So is kind of a thank you to all of our supporters, our fans, our downtown sponsors, just kind of everybody to say thanks for being with us at Pensacon and thanks for making it through everything's crazy year. And we really appreciate you. And we just want everybody to come out, have fun, and remember we're all still here. We're all still here. We're all having a good time. We all have our heads up and we're ready to have a little fun.
Well, there's definitely no better time to do that than Halloween. And of course, we at Pensacon are big fans of Halloween in general. I think most people who are into anything science fiction, comic books, horror, et cetera, love this time of year to begin with. And with this year, with COVID-19, I think a lot of folks are worried that Halloween wasn't going to be the thing we normally like it to be. So that was part of our inspiration, too, with doing this event. And so I think I've been, at least Andy, describing it to people as kind of a cross between a smaller version of Pensacon and a Halloween festival. Do you think that's a fair description?
Well, I think it's definitely a smaller version of Pensacon. It is a one-day event, so it's a much smaller version of Pensacon. But I also think it's a family-friendly, I've had a lot of people go, oh, it's a Halloween festival, so it's going to be scary, so I shouldn't bring the kids. And I want to make it really clear that, no, this is a festival for kids. All the vendors are going to have stuff for the kids to trick-or-treat. 3D Eats is one of our two food trucks. It is giving away a free lemonade or a free iced tea to anybody under 12 years old, and it's geared for adults and for kids. So I just want to make sure, as we call it a Halloween festival, that I keep getting asked that question. I want to make sure that we are crystal clear that it is for a family friendly event.
Oh yeah, absolutely. As Pensacon really prides itself on being a family friendly event too, and this is definitely going to be no exception. We definitely want everybody to come out and enjoy that, and we'll have, as you mentioned, trick-or-treating for the kids, and we have free trick-or-treat bags for the first 500 kids that come that will, have some goodies already in them, but then they'll be able to go around all of the vendors and exhibitors and get some treats. And then, of course, we also have a big kids costume contest happening as part of the event, which, in fact, is sponsored by this radio station, News Radio 92.3, and Cat Country 98.7, our sister station. And I know some folks from Cat Country are coming out to help us put that on, and we're looking forward to that. And then we'll also have an adult costume contest as part of the day as well, immediately following the kids costume contest. Now, we're not charged. There's, first of all, no charge to come to this event. That's a big thing, first of all. So it's a full day of fun for no charge to come out. You can come out and enjoy all the entertainment without paying for anything. But if you're an adult and you want to enter the adult costume contest, there is a $5 charge for that, and you will need to bring cash for that. We're only accepting cash for those entries. So make sure you stop by an ATM or something like that. I know a lot of us don't carry cash as a regular thing anymore. So just make sure you pick up some cash to enter that. But we're gonna have that kind of stuff. But then talk a little bit about what the rest of the event is going to bring, Andy.
We're going to do panels, just like a Pensacon. We're going to do a mini series of panels, and it's really exciting. I know Nightmare Theater are going to be a guest on your show next week, but they're also going to be doing a panel at Halloween Fest, as well as our artists who are coming, all of our comic book artists, and our two pop culture guests. They're all going to do about a half an hour to an hour panel, depending on what they feel like talking about and how many people want to hear what they have to say. And then we're also going to have stuff on stage, and that's the really exciting part. There's going to be a fire dancer on stage. There's going to be some acrobatic stuff going on stage. There's going to be some musicians going on stage. And we're going to have things on stage all throughout the day. And that's kind of fun for everybody to kind of come, grab some food, sit down. We're going to have an area in front of the stage cleared out. Please keep your group 6 feet apart from every other group. But it's going to be fun and exciting and just a nice kind of family event.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about those safety precautions that we're taking for COVID-19, because obviously that's not something that has gone away. It's something we still have to deal with in our community. It's part of why we're doing this event outdoors, is to help make it safe and fun for everybody. And we are, of course, requiring everybody that comes to the event to wear a face covering. That doesn't mean, you know, just like a domino mask. That means a mask that covers your mouth and your nose. It can be a mask. It can be a bandana. It can be one of those gator masks. A face shield is fine. Anything like that. But you do have to wear a mask. There will be no exceptions to that. If you do not wear a mask, you will be asked to put one on or to leave the premises, and we don't want to do that. So everybody, you know, just come prepared. If you're not prepared, we'll probably have a few there for folks that show up without one, but you know, just be prepared. That is part of the event, and you know, if you want to participate, you will be required to do that. We will have hand sanitizer stations throughout the plaza, and as well as a hand washing station with an actual sink over near the food trucks, the food vendors, right, that we'll have there. And, you know, we're also asking everybody to stay with your group and stay 6 feet apart from any other groups. You know, that's just standard, you know, same kind of precautions you've been hearing about for months now. We would like you to take here and, you know, just to make sure everybody stays safe and healthy. And then we will have a designated eating area near the food trucks where if you are actively eating or drinking, and you can sit apart from other people and take your masks off so you can enjoy your food and your drink. And then put your mask back on. It's kind of based on the protocols that we've seen Disney World doing, which seems to be very successful at how they're handling this. So I hope everybody will understand that and will be able to adhere to that. Of course, we'll have signs up and everything, and we'll have plenty of people to help you if you have any questions or concerns when you arrive at the event. But I think, Andy, and I'm sure you agree with me, that stressing that is very important. You know, we want to make sure everybody stays safe and healthy through this.
We definitely want everybody to stay safe and healthy, because we want you all to come back for Pensacon in February, so we don't want anybody to get sick. And we just want everybody to have a good time, but to have a safe, good time. And that's possible. It's a private event, so we are going to be enforcing the mask or face shield. We want you to have a good time, but we want to help keep, you know, not just yourself safe, but the people around you. So that's a big thing and a high priority on our list.
And, you know, it's Halloween. This event is literally taking place on Halloween. So, I mean, what better time to be wearing a mask? Everybody pretty much, you know, is going
exactly.
to wear it. Yeah. Just pick something that goes with your costume, or, you know, that at least matches your costume. And of course, we're definitely encouraging folks to come out in costume and enjoy the Halloween of it all. Whether you want to enter one of the costume contests or you just want to enjoy the event, you don't have to wear a costume if you don't want to. But, you know, who doesn't want to wear a costume on Halloween? Now, I think you and I will be dressed as Pensacon employees.
We don't get to wear them. I've picked out my Transformer mask to wear that day, just so, you know, I at least get to wear something costumey. But yeah, sadly, we have to dress as Pensacon employees, which breaks my heart a little bit. But I'll have my witch costume on hand just in case.
Well, you could wear a witch hat with that. I think that would be all right.
I will. Everybody will know me because I'll have my witch hat on, or at least some of it, depending on how hot it gets. But I'll have my witch hat on, and it does light up, so people will recognize me.
Oh, there you go. That's
very exciting.
That's a great idea. Well, Andy, we've got to take a break, but we'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. You have to forgive me for going so long on the music there. Sometimes I just get so into what's playing that I got to let it go. And I just, you know, wish I could just play just the music and not have to talk. But hey, it's a talk radio station, so we do have to talk. We are talking today about Pensacon Halloween Fest, which is coming up 1 week from today on Halloween. And with me from Pensacon's executive staff is Andy Trahan. Andy, you know, we mentioned in passing that we've got some guests that are coming out for this event. And a little later on in the show, we are going to be talking to one of those guests, Corin Nemec, who you know from things like The Stand and Parker Lewis Can't Lose, Stargate SG-1, great career. And we're going to be talking with Corin in the second half of the show about that and about him coming to town. And then, of course, our other big celebrity guest that is joining us is our friend Jason London, who you know from things like Dazed and Confused. He's been on Tales from the Crypt. Lots of great stuff from both of them. So we're looking forward to having both of them here in Pensacola for the day to meet their fans. They will sign autographs for a fee. They will be appearing in panel discussions, and we're going to do those in the J. Earl Bowden building, which is right adjacent to Museum Plaza, where the event is taking place. And we'll have very limited attendance on those. Again, COVID protocols, we're going to keep everybody seated apart and make sure we're sanitizing everything and all that good stuff. So if you want to attend one of those panels, make sure you go to Pensacon.com and check out the schedule. Make sure you plan to get in line maybe a little early for those so you can get a spot for that. But even if you don't go to the panels, our guests will be on hand all day long, and you'll be able to go and meet them. And if you want to get an autograph, get an autograph, and just tell them how much you appreciate them. We really appreciate them coming to town. It's nice to be able to have a little bit of that celebrity cachet that everybody loves with Pensacon.
Well, these are two great guys. Like, these are two guys who are so friendly and so outgoing, and they love being around their guests, and they love seeing everybody, and they love their fans. And that's just something that, you know, you can't fake. Even the greatest actor can't fake. So it's really nice to see these two just, you know, up close and personal and having fun with them.
Yeah, and we mentioned we'll have a few artist guests on hand as well. So we've got three great comic book artists that are coming to visit with fans all day long. Tom Zoller, who Andy is a very good friend of, and looking forward to meeting him. I haven't met him yet, so looking forward to meeting him.
He's pretty awesome. He's done a little bit of everything. And Tom actually really stepped up this year. And if anybody's seen our Halloween Fest, we call him Skelly, but the glow-in-the-dark Poseidon. He drew that. He colored it. It's all over the place. We're going to have it on some limited edition T-shirts. We're going to have it on some limited edition prints. And then, as I know you discussed before, Pensacon's charity this year is the O.J. Simmons Backpack Program. And Tom donated a secondary character, a mermaid witch, and we're going to have those exclusive prints and those. All the money from those are going to go right to the O.J. Simmons Backpack Program. And then you can get the witch on the limited edition T-shirt, Skelly on the – I'm sorry, the witch on the limited edition kids T-shirt, Skelly on the limited edition adult T-shirt. And the adult T-shirt will glow in the dark. It's full color, but it's going to glow too. So we're really excited about that. And Tom will sign it. If you buy the print at the merchandise booth, you can take it to Tom and he will sign it. He's got a good heart. He also does some My Little Pony stuff that my six-year-old thinks he is the bomb for doing because he is so talented. So that's really cool. But also, Mitch Bird's going to be there, which I'm really, really excited to see him. If you visit with him at Pensacon, you know he's a great guy. And Roland Paris is going to be there. So we have, like, three of these great artists here who all said, hey, yeah, we'll come over for a day. Who doesn't want to come to Pensacola?
Yeah, fantastic people and fantastic artists. And, Tom is going to be a new friend to Pensacon. Mitch and Roland have been friends for a while, and you may have seen them at the con before, but they're always doing some really interesting art. They've had great careers with great great comics that people have loved for years and years, and I would imagine they'll all have some kind of art for sale at the event as well.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned, of course, we are benefiting the Weekend Food for Kids program, the backpack food program that's done from St. Christopher's Episcopal Church to benefit the students of O.J. Sems Elementary. And we're not just doing the prints for that. We're also doing some additional sharing of the wealth with them, aren't we?
That is correct. We part of the merchandise booth profits are going to go towards the O.J. Sems backpack program. So there's going to be a percent. Pensacon's going to give a percent of anything we make at the merchandise booth to the O.J. Sems backpack program. And the and if you're not familiar with the O.J. Sems backpack program, what it basically is kids who wouldn't have food on the weekends while they're away from school, they get a backpack with three meals a day in it, so that's six meals, and if it's a three-day weekend, you get nine meals, and then two snacks a day. And what the cash does, a lot of people are like, oh, why don't we just donate food? Well, what the cash does is the cash allows everybody to go buy, for these backpacks, it allows them to go buy fresh fruit and fresh vegetables. So these kids aren't getting just cans of processed stuff, but they're getting some fresh stuff too. And although we do appreciate canned food donations, and you are welcome to drop those off at St. Christopher's Episcopal Church on 12th Avenue, we also are really excited to be able to provide them with some cash to make, you know, the backpacks just a little more special, a little more exciting, and put some fresh food in there as well. So that's really exciting.
Well, and of course, independently of Halloween Fest, of course, we are working with them throughout the year on the backpack food program, and you can go by the church to drop off food or to drop off a donation. And when you do that, you can also enter to win Pensacon passes. We're doing a drawing every month at the end of every month to give out two Pensacon passes. And then in February, am I right that we're giving away another set of VIP passes in February?
That is correct. We gave away, to launch it the first month, we gave away a set of VIP passes. And to lead up to Pensacon, we're giving a set of VIP passes to Pensacon. And every month in between is going to be still two passes, still get you in. There's still some great things going on. You definitely want the passes. So we're giving those away too.
Yeah, we have a lot of big, big plans for Pensacon that you'll be hearing about a little later down the line that you definitely will not want to miss Pensacon this year. We do expect to go on and have a lot of fun come the end of February. So if you you haven't bought your passes yet, of course, they're available at Pensacon.com. But if you want to try to win them with a donation, that, of course, is greatly appreciated and does a great thing for the community. And we will have a variety of past Pensacon merchandise on sale, as well as the special Halloween Fest merchandise. So come by the event on October 31st. That's next Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And that's, in addition to having a great time, you can do some good for the community, and that'll be wonderful too. We have a couple other charities that are coming out to be part of the event as well. I know the Humane Society of Pensacola is coming out. They're going to bring their adoption bus out, and they'll have some animals out there, so you can help them out. And of course, One Blood is doing a blood drive. They'll have their blood mobile out. So we are giving
you get a free T-shirt if you donate blood. You get a free Halloween T-shirt. From the blood myself. So that's pretty exciting, too.
Very cool.
They're really going all out. And speaking of those past Pensacon shirts, they are going to be $5. So $5 gets you a Pensacon T-shirt.
Yeah, so there you go. So if you missed it, one of the previous shows, there was a shirt you had your eye on and you missed it, didn't get a chance to grab it before you left the Bay Center. You may have a chance to swing back around and pick that up at Halloween Fest and even get a break on it from what you had paid for it at Pensacon. So that's always nice. We do have we've got several vendors that are going to be part of this event. They're obviously an important part of the event. How many vendors are coming out for this, Andy?
We have about 25 vendors coming out for this. So that's really exciting, and they're going to have everything from comics to toys to face masks, you name it, they're going to have it. Just a good variety of items. And Love Me Not, who's a big group at Pensacon, does a lot of hand-knit items. 17th Avenue Design does a lot of jewelry. It's really awesome because they take the paint off of Graffiti Bridge. If you're a local Pensacolian, you know what Graffiti Bridge is. And then they make jewelry out of it. They coat it with special coating, and they make jewelry out of it. So that's kind of something unusual and really cool, especially, I hate to say it, but with Christmas right around the corner. I know we're coming up on Halloween, but with Christmas right around the corner, it's a good time to kind of get a preemptive strike on that Christmas shopping for some unusual gifts. We have people like Cordy's Corner, who's a big part of Pensacola, and she has all kinds of stuff. She's got some really awesome Halloween bags that she's bringing. So that's going to be really unique and fantastic. And
I know our friends Mike and Joe Suchicki with Goulash will be out selling both their pen and paper and their card Goulash games, and they'll have their big green mascot Gunther out there for photo opportunities at their booth, and they're good friends of Pensacon and have some really cool original games that would very very much make a unique Christmas gift. So look forward to seeing them always.
There's just a lot of different and unique and a wide variety. Hyperspace Toys is going to be there, and we have quite a few artists that are going to be there that are selling their art. They you might have seen at some of the other art shows in town, but since those got canceled earlier this year, they thought, well, we're going to come on over and give Halloween Fest a try. So we're going to have stuff from watercolors to oil paintings to all kinds of really fantastic and phenomenal art.
And a couple of authors, too, right, with their original work?
Craig Price is going to be out there. And he is a USA, he's been on the USA best-selling list a couple times, so he's going to be out there, and that's really exciting. And he's really an author coming, fortunately, I love seeing Craig, but unfortunately, we had somebody else who just unfortunately couldn't make it, so...
Oh, okay. Well, I hadn't heard.
How many times can I say unfortunately in one sentence? I can try one more time, because, you know. But, But Craig's going to be there, and we're so excited to have Craig there. If you haven't met Craig or haven't read any of his books, you should definitely Google Craig Price, and then come on out. He'll have his book for sale, and he will autograph it for you.
Well, speaking of unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment, and we do have to say goodbye to Andy. When we come back from this break, we will be talking with Corin Nemec, who is one of our special guests at Pensacon Halloween Fest. And, until we come back, you'll listen to News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I've got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I'm your host, Julio Diaz. We have been talking about Pensacon Halloween Fest, and I'm very excited to have on the line with us now one of our celebrity guests for Pensacon Halloween Fest. You know him from things like Parker Lewis Can't Lose and Stargate SG-1 and The Stand and many, many other things. Corin Nemec, welcome to Let's Go Pensacola.
Well, great to be on. Great to be on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh well, we appreciate you being here. We're very excited to see you in town next Saturday at Pensacon Halloween Fest. What do you like about doing this kind of thing? Have you done a lot of these kinds of these fan events, these shows, these kinds of things?
Normally I do quite a bit. I normally do them mostly overseas, over in Europe. Oddly enough, I have Parker Lewis, especially as a show. It's been running over there in different markets, for decades. Whereas here in the U.S., it only recently came back on like Crackle, I think, has it now. But a lot of the stuff that I've done was just, for whatever reason, more successful over there. I love doing the conventions. Because I like to travel as well. I like to see new places. But really, it's. The most beneficial part about it is being able to meet those people who support the jobs I do or the roles that I've played, and get a chance to tell them thank you in person.
Isn't it interesting how you kind of mentioned with streaming and international and everything, how things have become kind of timeless, and there's always a new generation discovering something like Parker Lewis Can't Lose, which I watched when I was 18 or so when that show came out originally. It's interesting that something you did all that far back that's constantly getting a new audience.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, it is strange times these days. I was supposed to do a number of conventions earlier this year. Obviously, they were all postponed or canceled. But so this is this is going to be a great opportunity. It'll pretty much be the first one that I've been able to engage with the whole year. I feel like I've been grounded all year.
I think we all do. That's part of the reason that we wanted to do this event and give people something fun to do and something to just feel like to get back to normalcy, a little bit. You still have to take care and all, but, you mentioned you love to travel. Is this your first time coming to Pensacola?
It'll be my first time staying in Pensacola. I've been through Pensacola, driving through to Florida, But it'll be my first time staying there. I've heard great things about it, and very very excited to eat at some of the local places and check out the local scene. When I get there, heads up, buddy, we're gonna have fun.
Sounds good to me. We will do our very best to show you a good time here in Pensacola, and I know that all of the fans are looking forward to meeting you and getting to know you, and hopefully you'll become a friend and come back regularly, because you don't live too far away. You're over in Mississippi, right?
I'm here now, yeah. I'm down here currently. My place is in Texas, but I'm down here currently developing and producing a pilot for a new TV show called Blackwater Blues, which will star myself and Jason London, and a great other group of cast is coming together for it. Got a really solid director named Trent Dickens on board. The company Gas Money Pictures out of Los Angeles is financing it, producing it. So, we're set to go into production, principal photography, on November 16th. And very excited. It's a murder mystery show. It takes place in a small town in the Gulf, and it's going to be awesome. We're really excited to get started on it, and then we'll sell it and get it back on air next year.
Oh, very cool. Well, we'll be looking forward to that, and of course, Jason coming over with you for this event. Have you and he been friends for a long time? How'd you start working together on this?
Oh yeah, we've known each other since we were teenagers, really. Back in Hollywood, same social scene, same kind of friends we were all hanging out with. So, we've known each other over 30 years, I guess. And we've always wanted to work together. This was just an opportunity that came up in the right place, right time, and right circumstances. And we ended up creating this show together. I wrote the pilot script for it. We got that approved by the studio, and now we're rocking and rolling.
Very cool. Well, you kind of alluded to this, but you've been in this business a long time. You started very young as a child actor.
12 years old, yeah.
Yeah, I read somewhere that that you were kind of inspired by the Goonies. This was maybe the thing that made you interested in acting?
Yes, it was. It was the film Goonies, which my dad was one of the art directors on. And I understood the dynamics of filming, that, you have the sets and all the props and the wardrobe and all the stuff. And, I just realized that, what I was doing when I was a kid, playing with my friends in the woods, playing Dungeons and Dragons or, playing war or whatever, that as an actor, professional actor, would give me the opportunity to do the same thing, except with a full set, a full, stage, full wardrobe, and be able to kind of do the same exact thing, except it'd be filmed, it'd be edited together, and I would essentially be able to kind of view myself outside of myself living a different life other than my own. And I thought that was a pretty magical opportunity.
Well, you hear these stories that, people that start out young in this business have, a really hard time later on in life. How did you kind of cope and come through that? Because I haven't ever heard of you having a really hard time in your life. And maybe I've missed something, but seem to be a pretty even keel guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really, the only hard times is just the stress and pressure of the ups and downs of the industry, generally speaking, it's been relatively, it's been a roller coaster ride for sure, but it's been survivable, and I haven't really had to do much else other than maintain a career in acting, even if it was even if there were lulls in between jobs at times, you know, it was just about, I got to get my hustle on. I got to try harder. I got to reach out harder. But this particular year, I mean, this year was just absolutely devastating on the career side. So,
for the whole industry, really.
Yes. I mean, it's just been, really tough. And obviously, it's for people in the arts and entertainment business, the financial side is generally a bit of a roller coaster, a lot of ups and downs. And so when you cut off that spigot, like, you know, with any industry, I guess, really, you know, then, you could be in trouble there in a short amount of time. So it's been a frightening year, but we're coming out of it. We're coming out of it just with barely with the hair on our chins left.
So you're 12 years old. You decide you're going to become a professional actor. You dive in, and your first big movie role is working for one of the most legendary directors of all time, Francis Ford Coppola and Tucker. Talk a little bit about coming into that experience.
Yeah, that was really when you jump onto a show, a film like that with those kind of actors, Jeff Bridges, Martin Landau, Frederick Forrester, you know, just a slew of fantastic actors. With a director like that, or Victorio Storaro, the cinematographer that was on it, the painstaking attention to detail, the time that was taken, you know, to film each and every scene, there was... Once I got onto a regular show, I didn't realize how much time they actually took to get all of those shots, and the lighting as great as it was, and the set dressing as great as it was, and the wardrobe and all of those things. Then I go on to a regular show, and the pace of it is so much faster, and there's, you know, there's not enough time to spend 3 hours on a setup for one shot. What was really incredible working with Coppola was just, again, his attention to detail and how cautious he was about each and every scene, how he told the scene and the transition work between one scene to another. It was a magical experience, really magical experience. And I've had that experience too on a few other films. I know Simon Winchester, who directed Operation Dumbo Drop, even though it's a totally different type of feel of a movie, he had a very similar kind of thing too. He was very detail oriented. We shot very few scenes per day. The schedule was super long, and it was just those kind of films. They're just fantastic to do. Some of them are doing only 3 pages a day when you're filming, and that's like nothing.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you know, typically for those who know anything about screenwriting, usually a page of a screenplay is about a minute of screen time, give or take.
Minutes, you know, somewhere right around in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty crazy if you think about it. Do you feel like you learn a lot when you work with a director like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that mainly for me, it's paying attention to how they deal with the crew and how they go about shooting the scenes, directing the scenes. The visual interpretation of the scene, instead of just, you know, when I'm on set as the actor, you're in the middle of the scene, but then how is that scene being captured? What lens is being used? What's the angle? Is there movement to the camera? What are they doing to help tell the story with the camera? Because as the actor, you're just inside of it. It's not until later that you see what was the style of the visual style that was, you know, used.
Well, we have a lot more to talk about with Corin Nemec, but we do have to take a short break. You're listening to News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
With a black book in my hand,
And I've looked between the News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We have been talking about Halloween Fest, Pensacon Halloween Fest, coming up 1 week from today from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in Museum Plaza in downtown Pensacola. And we have been lucky enough to be joined by one of our special guests for that event, Corin Nemec. Corin, I wanted to jump forward a little bit in your career and talk about something that's just a really appropriate project to talk about this time of year. And that is the big original, because we've got another one coming out later this year, but the original miniseries version adaptation of Stephen King's The Stand, which you worked on with someone who we had here in Pensacola for Pensacon back in February, director Mick Garris. Talk about a little bit about why you wanted to be involved with this project.
When the audition came up, I really was perplexed because the way the character description is of Harold Lauder doesn't exactly fit the description of me, especially at the time. So when I got the audition, I was a little confused, but I knew that I could play the role. Excuse me. The character was written as being very heavy set and bad complexion and a bunch of other stuff. And here I was, relatively thin, with a relatively decent complexion. But I read the character and I was like, I can totally play this role. So I went in an audition for Stephen King and Mick Garris and got the part. What I found out later was that I had auditioned for Sleepwalkers a number of years before for Mick Garris, and he really had wanted to cast me in the role at the time, but I didn't have the physical attributes for that character either. And when they were trying to cast Harold Lauder, from my understanding, they had traveled to a lot of the different major markets, New York, Chicago, San Francisco, L.A., trying to do casting for that role, and just never found anybody that they felt was bringing the character to life. And Mick Garris was telling Stephen King that he had an actor that he believed that could play the role, but just didn't have the physical attributes that were scripted or written in the book. So when he brought me in and I auditioned for it, and got the job, I was shocked, number one, completely shocked. I thought that it was just, I thought it was wrong for me. as far as the character description was concerned, not with not being able to, not the performance side of it. I knew that I could do that. So when I did get the role, it was fantastic, because it was really the first time I ever was cast in a role that was very opposite myself. So kind of more of a character actor type of deal. So when I got the opportunity to play that role, it opened up the door for me in the future to play other roles that were a bit less obvious for me as an actor. And that really opened up my career pretty big time from that point on. Also did an episode of Creepshow with Mick Garris too back then, which was a lot of fun.
So, that, of course, a very beloved project, and that's kind of why when you first came on the show, I played Don't Fear the Reaper, because as I got to tell Mick when he was here, I just think that montage at the beginning of that miniseries that's set to that song is just one of the most effective uses of music in any film medium that I've seen. Just so well done. But the whole miniseries is really great. And if you haven't seen it, make sure you check it out, because we will be able to compare it to another version coming up in a couple of months, coming up on CBS All Access. How do you feel about that? Is this the first thing that you've done that's been kind of remade?
Yeah, I guess so. I haven't really gone back over my work over the years to see what else has possibly been remade, but I find it a little odd. The miniseries itself was so well done. It was so well thought out. They took a lot of time with the story, and Mick Garris did a tremendous job on the directing side. Stephen King was personally involved with the whole project. He was actually in the film, in the miniseries as well. I had a couple scenes with him, and he was there on set all the time. It was a passion project for him and for Mick and for everybody else. So certainly, I think it's strange, but sometimes these remakes, I think, are always a little strange. Some of them make sense when you get into doing a remake of something from the 50s or the 60s or something that was from so long ago that a lot of people probably never even heard of it. But redoing one that's not that far off from when the original miniseries came out, it is strange. I mean, I'm excited about it, but But it is always a little strange. I'm like, did we just do that?
And you, of course, you mentioned, you know, you were coming into this basically right off of Parker Lewis Can't Lose, which let's talk a little bit about that. We mentioned it kind of at the start of the show, but that was kind of from a TV standpoint before you got Stargate was pretty much your signature series. You were Parker Lewis. So you were the guy in that show. Talk a little bit about your experience working on that.
Yes. Yeah. Parker Lewis. Oddly enough, we were 10 episodes short from syndication. So we did 78 episodes. 88 is usually the bottom of the barrel for shows going into syndication, which is what really caused the show not to be in revolution on other networks from that time period on. So doing the show itself, it was a groundbreaking show at the time, especially our use of camera. It was more of a fantasy type of show, like a fantasy version of high school. There was special effects used. We would go into one locker and we'd come out into a whole different secret part of the school. We had a secret radio station up in a storage room high up in the recesses of the men's gym. There was a lot of bizarre comedy to it. Obviously, we had, you know, the Kubiak character who was supposed to be the school bully who just eats everything and busts through walls, and the crazy principal with her henchman Lemmer, who can, you know, disappear and reappear from one scene to the next. He's got like kind of vampire type abilities. It was just an absolutely far out take and twist on high school life that for me was just an absolute blast to work on. I had originally been thought of for that role because of a TV special I did a year, maybe 2 years before that, called What's Alan Watching with Eddie Murphy Productions and Tommy Schlamme directing that. And it had just an incredible cast: Peter Michael Getz, Barbara Barry, Fran Drescher, a slew. Eddie Murphy was in it as well. And I played kind of an oddly quirky character that was similar to Parker Lewis in many ways. And Lon Diamond, Clyde Phillips, they were over at CBS at the time and had actually developed Parker Lewis for CBS. And when CBS decided not to do it, the rights reverted back to them, and they took it over to Fox a number of years later and were able to sell it. But fortunately for me, still had me in mind as that lead character, so it worked out great.
I think it's definitely fair to call it a groundbreaking show, as you did. I mean, if you look, you can see the influence of that, I think, on things like Scrubs in particular.
Malcolm in the Middle as well. That's another.
Yeah, even Everybody Hates Chris, a lot of things like that. Yeah. So
a lot of the directors from Parker Lewis worked on Scrubs and Malcolm in the Middle as well.
Oh, well, there you go. That's that would definitely explain it then. I can't talk to you about coming to a show that's oriented about, you know, science fiction and fantasy, and a lot of our fans have that fan base, without getting into Stargate SG-1. Now this is a little bit different for you because you came into a series that was already well established. You're coming in end of the fifth, beginning of the sixth season as a new character and kind of taking the place of a very popular character, although playing a different character. Talk a little bit about your experience on that show.
Yeah, that was, again, another incredible show to get to work on. Unfortunately, short-lived. Would love to have remained on that show for longer. It was just such a great experience for me. As an actor, I love working on the sets. The sets are very important to me. The production design, I pay a lot of attention to, because my father is a production designer, and that's always been an interesting artistic expression for me, how the set design factor of it, architecture in general, really. But the sets that we worked on, the SGC, you know, the main Cheyenne Mountain set that they had built, the hallways alone were just absolutely remarkable, how realistic everything looked. The gate room, the size and scope of the actual gate, life-size gate that actually works, you know, they can spin it around and the chevrons can open and close. And I mean, it's just, again, level of detail, unbelievable level of detail. And so some of the episodes, especially that we did in season six was the first season the show moved from Showtime to the Sci-Fi Channel. Moving to the Sci-Fi Channel, they really, really took took some of the stops out for that season six because they had to launch with just some really big episodes. And we did some tremendous set builds and really big, large scope episodes. That to me is one of the most fun parts about it, is being able to be immersed in the world that you're in as the actor. And the more realistic that world is, the easier it is to live inside of that world for me. So working on that show was just, I mean, what a fortune. It was incredible. Just an incredible time. Great actors. Richard Dean Anderson, fantastic guy. Chris Judge, who plays Teal, such a great guy. Amanda Tapping, fabulous. The whole team over there, all the producers, Joe Malozzi, Brad Wright, the whole team. Fantastic. Great group of directors. I mean, what a... To have that opportunity again, you never say no. It's an incredible, incredible group, a team of people, and I think that they're developing a new some kind of new Stargate series now. But so people will get to experience it, a new unit of time, another Stargate adventure. Love to be involved with it. Probably won't be, but it would be incredible too.
Well, Cord, we are going to look forward to hearing a lot more from you next Saturday at Pensacon Halloween Fest about all of this and the rest of your career, and just getting time to get to know you and spend some time with you. It's been great to spend some time with you this afternoon on the show, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Saturday.
Yeah, thanks so much. And yeah, everybody out there, please come on by. You're welcome to come down and just say hello. You don't have to worry about buying an autograph or whatever. You can, if you just want to come by and say what's up, that's what it's all about. I'm very excited about the Halloween Fest, and but let's all put on our scary pants and join the fray at Halloween Fest this year. I'll see you in Pensacola.
We'll see you next Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Pensacon Halloween Fest in Museum Plaza downtown. Until next week, you're listening to News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.